The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Between the Synapse with Mark Tobin. If you're looking to learn something useful, you've come to the wrong place. But as Belushi once said, it don't cost nothing. So let's get things started. Here's Mark Tobin.
All right, welcome to Between the Synapse, and happy anniversary to Between the Synapse. This is our first anniversary show. Between the Synapse premiered on Voice America's Variety Network on April 17th, 2014. And so this marks our 52nd show. So happy anniversary to us. I hope you've enjoyed listening. And thank you so much for making the show a success here on Voice America. You can check out all 51 previous broadcasts at my blog at betweenthesynapse.com. And if you're not yet subscribed for notices of future shows, you can do so right there on the blog on the right-hand side. You can also check me out on Twitter at BetweenTSynapse. And if you'd like to join the show and ask any questions, or if you have any comments, relevant or not, please give a shout at 866-472-5788. That's 866-472-5788. So 1 year on the air. I thought I'd first look back and see what's happened over the year. I pulled up some news from April 17th, 2014. And so here are the headlines. First of all, Ukraine, there was a standoff between, you know, like Moscow and Ukraine, and pretty much same thing going on now. Healthcare had gained insurers. I think it hit 12 million. New Jersey governor Chris Christie was in the news. Same old stuff with him. Immigration, they are talking about immigration overhaul. Obviously, that didn't really work out from the congressional point of view. IRS was in the news about the whole targeting of the Tea Party. They started talking more about the 2016 elections, and former New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg had come out with his plan to get involved in the gun control debate. So between then and now, you know, if you look at these headlines, it almost could have occurred today, because nothing has much changed since then on many of these issues. However, that's not the case with Between the Synapse, because we have moved forward in so many different directions, unlike the world. So if you've been listening to the show, you would know that. So here's what I would propose is just don't read any news or pay attention to anything going on in the world, because you would really never know what day it is. Honestly, you know, things just don't change, quite frankly. And but if you're listening to Between the Synapse once a week, you're going to get, you know, just different perspectives. You're going to be talking about different topics, and you're going to be moving forward like at jet speed. And so you'll feel like your whole life is, light years ahead. Whereas if you just keep, you know, reading the headlines, you know, I pulled up ABC News here is what came up first. But, you know, even if like Wall Street Journal, Ukraine, Russia agreed a framework to de-escalate Ukraine tension. Okay, we know how that worked out. South Korean ferry made a sharp turn before tipping over. How many ferries turn? I don't know what the deal is with ferry, and I don't mean to make light of the loss of life, but I don't know what the deal is with ferries. F-E-R-R-Y, just to be clear. There's just the increase in ferry disasters over the last years is mind-numbing. Here's a really interesting thing. Neil Patrick Harris stars in Broadway's Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Okay, he got to wear his underwear on stage again. April 17th, really not much. There was not that much going on except for the premiere of Between the Synapse. And for those of you who were there listening to the premiere live, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You've been a part of it since the beginning. And we have grown significantly, both in live listenership as well as those that listen to the podcast. The one thing that I will say is I didn't really know much about internet radio when I got into it, and a lot of people, the majority of people do listen to podcasts versus live, but it seems that my listenership is probably a little more evenly weighted, and that's good news for me, because I think it just adds energy knowing that people are listening live versus, some other time. But please still listen other times as well, in addition to listening live. I don't mean to suggest that you shouldn't listen other times, but thank you for listening live. So what I thought I would do today, besides just regaling you with the success of the last year, which I assume would be pretty boring after about 4 seconds, is kind of just go over some of the highlights of some of the past shows, some of the shows that I thought were really good, some of the shows that were not really good, and that would give you some ideas of some of the things that you could go back and listen to. But before I do that, I also thought I would share with you a couple of articles from the news. And so, for example, Mila Kunis, who I'm a huge fan of, she grew up, she grew up in the Ukraine somewhere. We talked about Ukraine earlier. And she had allegedly a childhood friend. Now, I don't know if this is her stage name or this is her, birth name or whatever, but she goes by Christina Caro, K-A-R-O, kind of like the corn syrup, I think. That may be with a C. I think this is a real article. I haven't looked up the case, and I meant to, but I don't know if it's worth the time, but because the article is interesting enough, and I suggest you check it out just to see this woman. So she allegedly was a childhood friend of Mila Kunis in the Ukraine. And it doesn't say, as far as I can tell, it doesn't say where they lived in the Ukraine. It's very typical. I mean, the Ukraine is a really big place. Oh, it's somewhere in northwest Ukraine. Now that narrows it down. Okay. So anyway, these people were friends. Mila Kunis moved to the U.S. from the Ukraine in 1991. Previous to that, the pair were inseparable growing up. Caro now lives in Los Angeles. And obviously, this is a publicity claim. I can't imagine she really has done this for purposes of pecuniary gain. And yes, she is getting publicity because sitting here talking about it. And I guess it's just I'll give her kudos for her originality. She claims that a 7-year-old Miss Kunis had been envious of her pet hen. And I mean, we're talking, I guess, you know, we're talking about the Ukraine, and values are placed on certain objects. Maybe they didn't have a dog. And so I guess Miss Caro had a hen. I don't know what the hen looked like or, you know, what level of pet it was. Anyway, Miss Kunis was apparently envious of this pet hen. And 25 years ago, she stole it. Mila Kunis stole the hen chicken from Miss Caro. That's the allegation. And that would be one thing just to come out and say, yeah, you know, I used to be best friends with Miss Kunis. And, you know, it's so weird. When we were seven, she stole my chicken. Can you believe that? You know, and going around to the press and blah, blah, blah. By the way, you got to see a photo of this woman. This is from the Daily Mail. I try not to read it, but sometimes, you know, I can't help myself. But she's gone not one step further, not two steps further, but, you know, like 2,000 steps further. And she has filed a lawsuit against Mila Kunis. She is seeking damages for the stolen chicken. I don't know. First of all, I don't know who, what lawyer would file such a well, okay, I'll take that back. I'm sure there's somebody that would file it, but I mean, there's so many legal issues that would prevent this thing from going forward. But anyway, she has filed a lawsuit seeking redress for the stolen chicken 25 years ago. She alleges that when, okay, and they named the hen, the hen was named Doggy. So I guess maybe they didn't have a dog, and this hen was some sort of substitute for dog. So it was called Doggy. She alleges that when Doggy disappeared, Miss Kunis confessed to the crime and told Christina, "You can have any other chicken as a pet. You have a whole chicken farm." Caro, as I said, moved to Los Angeles in hopes of launching a career as a singer, says the theft of her pet chicken traumatized her and forced her to see a therapist, which I don't know. She lived on a chicken farm. I don't know where she found one. But anyway, she claims that being in close proximity to Miss Kunis, who lives in Hollywood, with her partner Ashton Kutcher and daughter Wyatt, has brought back all the bad memories, and now she needs more therapy. And she's pictured here in front of a Japan Airlines backboard with a sign that says hashtag give me green card. She's wearing a pink cowboy hat. Oversized sunglasses, God knows what else. Anyway, you know, so I don't know. So Miss Mila Kunis is being sued for stealing a pet chicken 25 years ago. They did apparently either not sought comment from Miss Kunis on this lawsuit. I am sure she will deal with it in the due course of the law. Good luck to Miss Caro. I don't know if she can sing or not. I can only hope, and this is not, I'm not wishing any harm for her, but if she did happen to be sent back to the Ukraine, I'm not sure that we would really miss her from what I am gathering. Anyway, you can check that out on the Daily Mail. I guess you could just Google, Kunis steals chicken or hen, and you'll probably find that. Other thing of note, today, apparently, and I don't know what time, it's supposed to happen this afternoon, Loretta Lynch, who is President Obama's nominee to replace Eric Holder as Attorney General, That nomination is likely to go forward today in the Senate after a five-month wait. And the irony here is that the Republicans had so much animosity towards Eric Holder, yet, you know, he was ready to go on his own accord, and they kept him in office for another 5 months while they messed around over issues that had nothing to do with the confirmation of the Attorney General, and now finally it looks like you know, it's not a done deal, but it looks like it may be coming to the floor for a vote. So Loretta Lynch looks like she is on the way to confirmation. All right, so when we get back, we will be going over the last year in Between the Synapse. So stick around. We've got a break, but we'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. There are over 140 million products manufactured worldwide. It is impossible to know the ingredients in these products, especially those made overseas. Stan Salat, creator of the HSF Mark and the Counterfeit Mark Alliance, is the host of People to People, working together for your safety. Stan believes in our right to know the type and amount of hazardous materials in consumer products and whether they are counterfeit. Find out how you can protect yourself every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety. Tune into the Voice America Variety channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
What can you find on Get Real Radio? Well, quite honestly, who you really are. Join host James Robinson each week for a program designed to reveal more about yourself and your world through words of wisdom and profound guests. You'll discover more about the spiritual movement and how it can work with you and alert you to problems you may not be aware of. It will educate, titillate, and enlighten your mind. Get Real Radio is broadcast live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. This could end up being the best time of your week.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one Internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mbt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at @BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back to Between the Synapses. First anniversary show. We are celebrating 1 year on the air on Voice America's Variety Channel. This is our 52nd broadcast. Thanks for listening. So you'd think if you were a former president of the United States, you'd be able to get home services, you know, in a more than reasonable time. You know, if you had a broken pipe or your air conditioning went out and you needed something repaired, you know, you'd think that you would not have to wait, probably get something done quicker than most people. And I'm okay with that. You know, you're former president of the United States, and there should be some privileges that come with that. And so, you know, somebody calls and says, listen, I work for the former president, and he's got a clogged toilet. Can you send a plumber out here to fix that? And instead of, you know, if it was some normal person, they'd say, oh, you know what, we're really, really busy. We can't get out there for a couple days. They would say, okay, yeah, we can help. We're going to send somebody right out. And they come and they fix that toilet, you know, in the next couple of hours. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. And I think that, you know, former president, regardless of party, you know, has earned that. So I just see this article here. This is about former President George Herbert Walker Bush. That would be 41, for those of you who are still confused. He was vice president under Ronald Reagan and then served one term of president from 1988 to 1992. Technically, actually, it's 1989 to 1993. But anyway, so he actually he has two homes, one in Kennebunkport, Maine. And then he also has a home here in Houston, Texas, which is actually a stone's throw away from the broadcast center for Between the Synapse. And it says here that the alarm in his home was broken, and it was reported in September 2013. All right, September 2013, a temporary alarm wasn't installed until April 2014. So that's, let's see, September, October, November, December, like 8 months. Maybe it was 7 months, whatever. 7 to 8 months. It took a former president of the United States to have his alarm system replaced or fixed, which is far beyond what even, you know, any body would expect. I mean, I think the worst case scenario, I have an issue with my alarm, and you know, I call them and say, hey, my alarm's not working. Worst case scenario, just, you know, say they are just exploding and everybody's alarm is broken, right? And say they're going to tell me, you know, worst case scenario, 5 days, something like that. Here, for the former president of the United States, who it seems security is very important, would you know, get service you know, right away. So you never know. We've got a caller from Lafayette, Indiana. Andrew, how can I help you?
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
Doing well.
Thanks for calling Between the Synapse. What's on your mind?
Well, I think I picked up on the show just maybe a few moments and caught the tail end of, I think you were probably discussing Carly Fiorina and whether or not she should be running for office of president. Is that kind of how I picked up? Because I only picked up at the end there. Is that what you were implying?
Oh, yeah, that was last week's show. But yes, I was... you may have gotten the wrong link, but that's great. Yeah, my point about her was that people, you know, if you're going to run for president, maybe you should win an office before you advance to running for president. That losing doesn't really count as serving in office, and so she should perhaps win something before she starts to run.
Well, I would respectfully disagree with the premise that you need to have been an elected official or, say, a governor or a senator prior to being president. I mean, I think...
Well, first of all, Andrew, are you running as well? Are you starting...
No, definitely not, but Eisenhower was a president who was not a governor or a senator. I think what you really need is to be a excellent leader and a strong executive. And I think that it's possible to have someone, maybe it's not Carly Fiorina, maybe it is, I'm not arguing one way or the other, just for the point that you may not be a bad president if you were a strong leader of a large organization with good executive skills, et cetera. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I think there are exceptions, Eisenhower being among them. I mean, what he did in his job, I'm not saying it was akin to being president, but it was a position that had responsibility that was certainly almost equal to that. And so, you know, there are people that have been in that position. And I don't think that, you know, Carly Fiorina, by virtue of being, you know, CEO of HP, has that equivalent, you know, experience in and of itself. And I don't recall how long she was, but it wasn't decades. And she didn't start the company. And so, you know, she was there for, I know it was under 10 years. You know, and she'd worked her way up, and, you know, she was, I think, good at what she did. So I'm not trying to dismiss that. But yes, if you were a 5-star general that led the invasion of Europe and helped rid the world of the Nazi scorn, sure, I would say that you might be qualified to run for president without holding public office. You know, some of these other people, just by virtue, I guess I do take issue with that by only being a person who has been successful in business in and of itself, I find that to me is not somebody that I would necessarily vote for without more. Because, I mean, just take Eisenhower. I mean, he was obviously in a government position, so he knew how government worked. And my question of people who were completely outside of government and want to come in and, you know, say, look, I'm going to run it like a business. I built a business, and this is what I'm going to do, are completely naive. While business principles can apply to business, I mean, sorry, to government, it is a completely different animal. And if that is going to be how you choose to govern, you're going to not only not succeed, but you're probably going to make things worse. And so, you know, politics is about being able to bring together people of different views in order to ultimately reach agreement. And that's not always the case when you are running a company, because you have the ability oftentimes to, you know, dictate. And you can't do that in government. You just can't. Occasionally you can, but not often. So who are you? Let me ask you, I don't know what side of the aisle you reside, if any, but who are you looking towards for 2016?
Well, I'm personally more of a libertarian mindset. I want government to be small and not interfere with my day-to-day lives. I really don't think that government
should be... So what are you doing? What are you doing that you don't want government snooping into?
It's not that I'm doing anything. It's that I don't think they should be telling me how much water my toilet should have to flush and what kind of light bulbs I need to be using, that kind of thing. And we'll see if the American people agree with you, and if somebody like Carly Fiorina or Ben Carson, who doesn't have experience in a public office, will actually get the Republican nomination and maybe even win the presidency. You may be right. Those types of people may be rejected by the voters, but I think that a lot of Americans are kind of fed up with government, and the approval ratings of Congress would be one indication of that, I think. So I think we'll just have to see.
Well, you're from Indiana, and I think your governor is someone who, well, at least before the recent debacle involving deal, you know, the law that he signed into effect right before the Final Four, He was someone who was being mentioned for president. Is he someone that you would favor?
I think Mike Pence is a good governor, but I don't think he's presidential.
That's my own personal.
That's my own personal opinion. I don't think he is a strong enough leader for a national office like that. It's just my impression. I've met him a couple of times. I like him, but I don't think he's going to be the next president.
Yeah, well, he certainly will have a lot to overcome in terms of his sort of national coming out party, no pun intended.
I think that was a bit of a farce, actually, because my state senator actually sent me a link to the law, and the law basically said nothing about businesses discriminating against anybody. What it did, I think, was make the government's stance much more harder to discriminate against anybody's religion. So if you're, for example, a Muslim that wants to grow a beard in an Indiana prison, but the Indiana prison says you can't have beards, well, then you say, well, no, my religion says I have to grow a beard, and then the government has to prove that them not allowing you to grow a beard is an overriding government interest. It didn't say anything about people selling or doing business with or not doing business with any particular class of people.
Right, no, exactly. It didn't have the protections that the national law did and a lot of other state laws did. And, I mean, it was the ability to discriminate against gays and lesbians was, I think, the designated purpose of a lot of people who were involved in pushing forward that law.
But that's not what the law says.
Right, but it would allow for it, I think, was the argument, without those protections. And I think that was something that they then, you know, tried to argue after the fact. You know, it mimicked the law that Arizona passed, and then the governor, who, you know, had basically about the only thing I think she ever did right was, you know, was veto that law under pressure from a number of large companies who said that they would not do business in Arizona. So I take it you would, if you were to vote in a primary, you would vote in the Republican primary. You had to cast a vote today. Who would you cast that vote for?
I would vote for Ben Carson.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, I'd love to hear your reasons why, but we got to take a break. Can you stick around?
Maybe. I'll try.
All right. Andrew from Lafayette, Indiana, is going to try to stick around, but we got to take a break on Between the Synapse, and I hope you stick around as well. We'll be right back.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
How do you achieve the utmost success in your life, career, faith, relationships, and more? It's all here in The Business of Living with host Scott Ventrella. Scott has experience as an executive coach, sought-after speaker, and lecturer. He and his guests will offer practical solutions and strategies to help you move to the next level of success, no matter where you are in your life and career. The Business of Living airs live every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
American Heroes Network is a program for and about our American veteran heroes and their families. Join host Gary Ray as he shows what is being done to help our veterans and showcase the companies and organizations that are helping our veterans and their families rebuild their lives. Listen for American Heroes Network, live and powered by the Voice America Variety Channel, every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
Women can live their lives to the fullest and realize their dreams for growth and greatness. Georgine Summers knows. As host of On the Edge, Georgine will give you powerful tools and rules to help you change direction in your life and get rid of the fears that stop you from living your dreams. Stretch your boundaries and become the amazing person you've always wanted to be. On the Edge with Georgine Summers airs live every Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mbt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
All right. And welcome back to Between the Synapse. First of all, I want to thank Andrew from LaFa at Indiana for calling. He had to run, so not able to get his reasons for supporting Ben Carson. And I was actually really curious because I really don't know anything about Ben Carson. I kind of know the highlights of some of the things that, you know, he said. And quite frankly, I kind of put him in the W category, W for sort of, you know, wacky. But you know, he'll have his supporters and you know, I get the whole anti-government thing, which I guess, you know, does appeal to certain people. But anyway, so maybe the caller can call back another time and we can finish the discussion because I'm very curious. So this is the first anniversary broadcast of Between the Synapse. And as mentioned earlier, I thought I would kind of go through some of the shows and talk about both the highlights as well as lowlights of the show. So we started on April 17th and 2014. That's why it's a one-year anniversary. And the first show that I did, well, actually, let me just step back before I do that. And for those of you who are wondering, how did this show begin? Why did this show begin? Why are you on the air talking? Well, here's the story isn't, you know, I wish I had a more exciting story, but it's, you know, it is what it is. But also, the reason today is the 23rd of April. And it is the first anniversary show. Technically, you know, the show started on April 17th, but whatever. But a coincidence, it is also my wedding anniversary. So I want to wish my wife happy anniversary. So how did the show start? Okay, so I've been doing my blog Between the Synapse, which is betweenthesynapse.com, for a while now. It started you know, around 2008 and went through kind of different kinds of, you know, styles and kind of, you know, grew and started, you know, writing more and more. And then I got a call from a producer, I guess it was early in 2014, saying he had seen the blog and, you know, liked what I was writing about and thought, you know, it would make a good show on Voice America. And so I thought that was interesting. And he said it was on the Variety Channel, which makes sense because I'm all about variety. If you've seen what I write about, you know, covering anything from politics to, you know, foreign affairs to satire to sports to culture, and kind of whatever pops into my head. And that's sort of been, I guess, where the show has been, for good or for bad. And so that's it. So, you know, got everything together and premiered on the 17th. And the, you know, I don't even remember how I decided to do the first show, but I thought it was going to be kind of funny. But the one of the guys that was supposed to do it ended up not being able to do it. And so this debate that I wanted to have between two meteorologists who had different who favored different kinds of forecasting didn't actually occur. And I don't know, I thought it would be really funny for some reason to have these two meteorologists having this great debate over forecasting. And even though, you know, it's a serious topic, but it seemed humorous at the time. So the first show was forecasting face-off. It was the European system versus the U.S. system. And it ended up just kind of being an overall discussion of the different kinds of forecasting. And it actually was quite interesting. I learned a lot, both preparing for the show and on the show, because, you know, particularly now with the weather being so erratic, there's so much to try to figure out in terms of what's happening. And so if you want to know why you might, you know, see different kinds of forecasts, check out that show on forecasting face-off. You will find some very helpful information. I then dwelled back into an area which I was very comfortable with, which was the Middle East. Talked about that. Then went into the Russian and Ukraine situation. Then I had an open line show in early May, which, you know, one of the things I did learn was that, you know, not a lot of, today was great, but not a lot of people really call live on internet radio, but, you know, they do occasionally, and so, you know, don't know if we'll be having a whole lot more of those, though I do welcome your calls at any time. And by the way, there's still time to call just in case. That number is 866-472-5788. And then I had a show which, you know, I guess I wasn't surprised by this. But anytime you mention sex in anything, you are going to have more listeners, more hits or whatever. And so I had a show called Hashtag Activism and Sex Workers. It was a former prostitute who is now an activist and working to improve laws involving sex workers. And basically the show, this was when there was a hashtag Bring Back Our Girls, and it was talking about the power of the hashtag and basically talked about how sex workers were using social media in order to further their cause, not their business, but their cause, and so it is just I don't know what it says about us, but you know, if I could just put something about sex in every single title of the show, I'd probably have the number one show on the Variety Channel, but I don't. You know, I guess it would probably get old after a while. So anyway, it actually is really interesting. She was a very interesting guest, and I encourage you to check that one out on May 15th. I also encourage you to stick around after this last break, and we're going to continue on this first anniversary show. So just hang around for a minute, and I'll be right back.
Streaming live. The leader in internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you or someone you know interested in attending college? With both college tuition and college enrollment up 60% since 2002, there is a lot of competition, and careful planning needs to be a part of the process. Tune in to Getting In, a College Coach Conversation. hosted by Elizabeth Heaton and featuring a team of college coach experts. We'll bring you the tips, techniques, and know-how to navigate the road to college and do so the smart way. Listen live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
All around the outermost rim of the shield, he set the mighty stream of the river Oceanus, creating Achilles' shield in Homer's The Iliad, Book 18.
Rachel Carson, in The Sea Around Us, said, "All at last, return to the sea, to Oceanus, the ocean river, like the ever-flowing stream of time, the beginning and the end."
Moyer's Environmental Dialogues with Dr. Rob Moyer offers lively dialogue and revealing narrative inquiry into how individuals are overcoming obstacles and creating a greener and blue planet Earth.
Tune in Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to Between the Synapse with your host, Mark Tobin. If you want in on this week's discussion, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to mvt@betweenthesynapse.com or on Twitter at @BetweenTSynapse. Now, back to the show.
And we're back once again on Between the Synapse, celebrating our first anniversary on Voice America's Variety Channel and going over some of the previous shows, which I hope you'll check out. And some of my favorites. One of the favorite titles was "Why Congress Sucks." And actually, the caller from Lafayette, Indiana, referenced the Congress's approval rating. We talked about that in that show with some political professionals. This is when the Congress's rating dropped, I think, into the single digits. And so if you want to listen to their thoughts on why Congress was so unpopular, check out that show on May 22nd. And then the next week, actually, the marketing of health myths was really interesting with a doctor from, I believe it was from Yale, maybe Harvard. I don't mean to insult either one of those institutions if I have it wrong, but just basically, you know, he talked about how there, you know, there's these millions and even billions of dollars spent on a lot of products and a lot of information that is being pushed, which is just, you know, dead wrong, and it pushes people into directions which make them actually more, you know, unhealthy. And so, you know, we talked about that and talked about, you know, how people get on the wrong diets or addiction treatments and things like that. Moving forward a little bit, I did an educational series. It was a three-part series when school started back in September and early October. Which began with Bill Dershowitz. He was the author of Excellent Sheep. It was entitled "Is the Ivy League Broken?" I talked about his experiences as a Yale professor and how he believes that you know, for a number of reasons that the kinds of educational forms and systems aren't, you know, what they used to be, and not nearly as effective as they could be. And then I follow that with part two, which was called Teaching the Teachers on 9/25. And then finally, part three was on October 2nd with Disabling Disability Roadblocks, which talked about teaching to children who have various forms of disabilities and how to best educate them. And that was a very revealing show in terms of the methods. And it was really straightforward and not complicated in terms of the best way to proceed. And really, really good advice on a number of fronts. I also enjoyed talking to the editor of the Wonkette, Rebecca Schoenkopf. That was on September 18th. We covered a number of topics in an interview with the Wonkette. The fall movie preview with a writer from the LA Times was enjoyable as well on October 16th. And then, you know, this was, I don't know if this was a good show or not. I called it Selfie, and basically it was, you know, my producer suggested that I let my audience in on kind of who I am, and so I kind of interviewed myself. It was a little bit awkward, I guess, but I don't know. Maybe if you want to know more about me, listen to the show called Selfie. And as I said, by the way, all these things can be found on my blog at BetweenTheSynapse.com. Just look over on the right-hand side of the page, and you can find them. So, you know, what shows didn't really go well? Let's see. NFL Sex Preview. Yeah, that was one of those shows where I was kind of experimenting. It's like, okay, I will put sex just in the title and see what happens. And don't listen to that one. If I had to say, okay, what show not to listen to, that's probably that one. And Open Call number 3. Not so hot either. But I would tell you to listen to Rape Culture in America on November 6, 2014. This was an interview with a woman who had a friend, Facebook suggests that she friend the man who raped her as a young teenager. And then I would also suggest that if you are a fan of the show The Americans, which the finale premiered last night. I did not watch it because I was watching the Spurs-Clippers game, which fortunately ended up in favor of the good guys, though it was very, very close. So I'll probably watch it tonight, so don't spoil it for me. Anyway, I interviewed a former professor of mine, Harvey Clare, and he told real stories of Soviets who spied in this country for the Soviets. Really, really great show. And so I would check that out if you're a fan of the show. And then, you know, I would probably, if you know, with regard to Israel and Iran, had a really good discussion with David Mikosky of the Washington Institute on March 5th. And a lot of his analysis is still fresh. So you check that one out. And one of the last ones, which this is actually one of the shows that I had the most fun researching. It was Spring Break, History, Culture, and Movies. And it was on March 19th. I took a minute and figured out how Spring Break became what it was. And if you want to know the answer to that question, check that show out on the 19th. So that's all the time we have. I want to thank you for listening to Between the Synapses' first anniversary show. I want to thank Andrew from Lafayette for calling. I want to thank Kevin in the back room, and I want to thank my producer, Winston Price, for all his help over the past year. And I want to thank Voice America Radio for all their help in making this show the success that it is. I will talk to you next week on Between the Sit-Ups.
Thanks again for joining us this week. Mark Tobin and Between the Synapse will transmit once again next Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. And remember, you never know what lies between the synapse.